Okay. The time is 7:35 a.m. Today is August 25th, 2023. I would like to go ahead and call the Application Review Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners to order. Ms. Folks, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Catarino?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Thanks to all the board staff. This is a long agenda, so I know there's going to be a few questions on some of the applications, and so I would maybe one of the things we could do is review the applications of those who are online but take the vote when we arrive at those sections. Ms. Galvin, thank you for joining us. And I thought maybe we would go ahead and review the application for, if that is okay with Dr. Catarino, who's the application with you?
The first one, the EPPP only, Dr. Colley? Or
No. I want to do the application of those who are here.
Oh, I thought in the category. I'm sorry.
One second. I need my note. Ms. Folks, you said we have an applicant here with an attorney.
Well, Dr. Brittany Launder is present, Sandra Beasley, Madeline King.
No, but the person who has the attorney, that's the one I want.
Oh, yes, that's Dr. Lanfear under the licensure by waiver. She's number 7.
Yeah, okay. I do see that. Okay. So is it okay with you, Doctor, so we can do Dr. Lanfear first?
Yes. I'll just have to pull that up, okay. Did you want me to do it, or are you?
I can do it.
Okay, go ahead. I missed that, so you know I wasn't here when it was discussed previously. I was.
Nor was I.
This has not been discussed previously. This is the first part for this one.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I am having some. What is this? This last. Sorry, no. You can just ask me to sign in. I apologize. Now I want to confirm that I am who I am. So Dr. Lanfear is applying. She missed the deadline to apply for her reapplication, which happens every 2 years on her birthday, sometimes even, sometimes odd. She has been asked to submit a new application to be reviewed. I do have some questions, and I would like to request that we go into executive session.
Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Would that be for the purpose of receiving legal advice and reviewing?
That would be the purpose of receiving legal advice. Okay. I heard a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. soon as Dr. Katharina gets back, we will Ms. Galvin, because Dr. Lanthier has her attorney, do we need to give them an opportunity to speak for an application review committee like we do in general session, or do we just kind of share our concerns?
I would recommend giving them an opportunity to present to the committee.
Okay. So let me just give a brief summary of the case. Dr. Lanthier is a licensed psychologist in Arizona. Her license expired in May 2022. Shortly after that, she received a letter from Ms. Pope indicating that her license had expired, not to practice, and to work on the reinstatement process. 13 months passed, and at that point, we received an application. Dr. Lanthier tried to reinstate. However, we had up to 1 year to complete the reinstatement. This is after the license had expired, she was unable to do the reinstatement, and then she completed an application for licensure by waiver. This is really a first for the board, in my experience, and as many of you know, I've been on it. And Dr. Lanthier has been practicing without a license for over a year, even after being informed. At this point, I just would like either Dr. Lanthier or her attorney to introduce themselves and maybe make a brief statement, a 2 to 3 minute statement, and then we will go into discussion, Dr. Katharina and myself, regarding our recommendations. So, Dr. Lanthier, Mr. Bevington.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, committee members, board staff. My name is Andrew Bremington. As you said, I'm here with Dr. Lanthier. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us this morning. I just have a couple of brief things to say, and then Dr. Lanthier is going to make a brief statement and answer questions. We're not here today to minimize or sugarcoat anything. Dr. Lanthier knows the significance of her error, as noted in the written materials. She also took swift remedial action to correct her error. So she's here with me today to see whatever else she can do to correct her error, her license lapse, get her licensure back, and do whatever else she can with the committee and with the board to right this ship. Now I'll turn it over to Dr. Lanthier. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, committee members, and thank you so much for your time today. I have to admit that I'm nervous, and I am actually completely embarrassed to be here. I never thought this would happen to me. I was stunned when I realized that I had let my license lapse. I know I provided some context in my written materials. It is absolutely not an excuse for having let my license lapse for that mistake and oversight. I know that I'm completely responsible for it, regardless of whatever else was going on in my life during the time, during that period. I understand the importance of licensure. I understand the importance of regulation of our profession. And as soon as I realized that it had lapsed, I took all of the corrective measures as outlined in what I provided to you and as by the board. I love what I do. I love my profession. I care deeply about the well-being of the clients that I work with and the students that I have the privilege to work with. And I'll do whatever I can to work with the board to get my licensure back in good status so I can get back to serving the community. Again, I wanted to thank you for your time, and I am happy to answer any questions.
Dr. Lanthier, besides the emails that you received, you also received a letter back when your license had expired. Could you talk about that letter that you received?
I don't recall having received a letter.
Once your license expires, There is a letter sent by the board. You get three reminder emails. And you said you did not receive the reminder emails. And if I'm not mistaken, this, could you confirm that, Ms. Packinett?
Yes, Madam Chair. It's been this board's practice in the past to, issue when, for the, number of individuals that do not renew their license, at the conclusion of, every month. For many years, we did send a notice that indicated, acknowledge you didn't renew your license. I am not sure that we were still issuing that letter in 2022. I believe we may have discontinued that practice just due to, you know, cost considerations, time, you know, the administrative time and so forth. And because there were system generated notifications that licensees were receiving. So what we found was that there were licensees who were, you know, writing back to us saying, yes, I did. That was my intention. I've moved or I've, you know, retired or whatever the case may be.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification, Ms. Patanay. So you know, you've been licensed by the board for how long, Ms. Dr. Lanfear?
I was initially licensed in 2007.
So you've been licensed by the board for over 15 years. So you've been renewed your license, you know, you've renewed your license several times in the last 15 years. How do you keep track of the date? Do you run private practice? Do you display your license in your office where you see clients?
It is displayed in my office. And I
do you have visual
yes, it's visually displayed for them to be able to see and acknowledge. In the past, I always knew it was April. It was just licenses were renewed, and I believe it was April, and that was an easy pattern for me. There was the shift to the renewal in your birthday month, and then something with odd or even years. And to be fair, I did lose track of that during the pandemic, and so.
But we've been doing the odd even year for the last, I want to say, at least 3 or 4 cycles.
I think I did one renewal in that May cycle.
More than one, because we did about 4, less than 4. Anyway, regardless, we've been doing it for a while. I cannot recall the exact date and shift it over. So, but it's been, it's been a while. So more than one. So, okay. Miss Dr. Caterino, do you have any questions for Dr. Lanfear?
Yes. So Dr. Lanfear, you did receive a letter though from Ms. Paul telling you to cease practice at one point. And I believe, did you continue seeing clients after getting that letter?
Yes, I emailed with Ms. Poe in January. I had reached out to inquire, and then on January 13th, we had an email exchange. And to be fair, I received her email. I read the top. I said, oh, license reinstatement, produce CE credits, pay this amount of money, submit the reinstatement paperwork. And I just stopped. That resonated with me, and I did not read further. And that is neglectful on my part to have not given full consideration to the entirety of Ms. Poe's email. I acknowledged the reinstatement protocol and made note that I needed to follow with that.
After receiving the letter, how long did it take you to then send all the required paperwork in?
I submitted the paperwork once I had the conversation with Ms. Fouts on the telephone. She informed me that I needed to go with the reapplication process as opposed to the reinstatement process. and I submitted the paperwork within that time period. Everything was submitted on July 17th.
And when was the letter from Ms. Poe received?
The email that she sent me, our email exchange was on January 13th.
So there was 6 months even after she told you how to reinstate. There were still 6 months.
That's correct, yeah. And,
okay. Yeah. So, and then according to the paperwork from your attorney, it said that you saw 334 clients and the rate is 175 for the initial visit, 150 per additional. So if I charge, you know, I figure it out at 150 per client, because I couldn't tell how many are initial, I would figure this is over $20,000 earned without a license.
Yes.
How do you feel? What do you think about that? I mean, in terms of, you know, presenting yourself to the public as licensed and earning that much money, you know, without a license. Any comments?
Well, again, not having renewed my license is absolutely my mistake and something that I really, really needed to attend to despite everything else. I was not intending to misrepresent myself to the public, and I keep my practice very small so that I can devote my full attention to serving the families that I work with.
You feel that these families are earned, they deserve their money back for that time period? That they should be?
I would have not provided my care to them any differently in that time period. I provide the top quality care that I can to every family in every interaction that I engage with.
If I may make a brief statement, one thing, one thing that Dr. Lanfear and I have discussed to address this issue of any benefit she got was practicing without a license. We don't know if there's any way for her to volunteer time in a pro bono manner, you know, assuming she gets a licensure, which we are hopeful for. She could give some amount of pro bono hours to a mental health clinic or something like that as a way to kind of to rectify this issue that we're discussing right now.
What about returning the money to the people that she actually took it from?
I mean, we could certainly consider that. However, it is a large sum of money. Dr. Lanfear is a single parent. She doesn't practice a great deal. So, I haven't had a discussion about, you know, what she makes each year. But I suspect it's at the lower end of the range for the profession. So any large amount of money would be extremely burdensome. So we'd be seeking to see if there's some other way. Because as she said, while it was unlicensed, there's no indication the quality of the services are any different. Of course, conceding that just by it being, unlicensed is an issue. So we're willing to look for alternative solutions, but paying back a large sum of money we think would be a little prohibitive for doctors.
I think there's been some precedent for psychologists returning some of the fees. That's why I bring this up. And to the people, really, that gave the money rather than to another group, you know, such as a charity.
Dr. Katerina, I believe it was 334 one-hour sessions at, let's say, $150 an hour, and that comes over to $50,000.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah.
Not 20.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So
is that 334 and 150?
$50,000. I did the math.
See. Thank you.
I think at this point, thank you, Dr. Katerina, for sharing. These are some of the actions other psychologists have taken and discussed in open session when they agreed to reinstate their license. In most cases, you know, within the month of not being reinstated or within a couple of months, we find out and action is taken. This is, as I said, a very unusual case. And even after being told in January, continuing with practice is extremely concerning, you know, And the board's mission is to protect the public. And when we have a licensee that does not follow directions, even after being told, is very concerning to me. And so at this point, I would like to just go ahead into deliberations and then with Dr. Calvino, make a decision on what we're going to do at this point, and then eventually, all we are doing is recommendations. We are not making any final decisions at this committee, because we are at a committee level, and it will be up to the board to make full make a decision when we have a full board present. So, Dr. Catarina, so I'm going to move us into deliberations because we are at the committee level. At this point, Dr. Catarina, what are your thoughts, and do you have a motion?
I think that this should be discussed at the full committee meeting, the next full board meeting.
Do you want to make any kind of...
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that this case be...
Any kind of other decision on the license?
Yeah, I think the decision on the license be discussed at a full board meeting.
Okay. Do we do it at the very next meeting, Ms. Galvin, or do you think it would be better to do it at the October meeting?
I would defer to staff. I don't know whether this next agenda can accommodate this discussion.
Our preference would be for September, if at all possible.
I think since we haven't made a decision on the license, I think it would be appropriate that we discuss the license application and consider consequences at the full at the meeting in September, like we would do with our other licensees. Is that okay, Ms. Packenham?
Madam Chair, I'm checking the agenda right now to see if how realistic that is. So if you don't mind, continue the discussion, and I will get back to you in a few moments.
Okay. So, okay, so if you can hang in there, Dr. Lanfear and Mr. Brevington. We would appreciate that. And I'd like to go back to our agenda and all of the people that have been waiting patiently. We have Rebecca Coley and Sandra Beasley. So I'll do Rebecca Coley. Rebecca Coley is applying for, this is 3A1 for license. She received her degree from Midwestern. She did her pre-doc internship at Arizona State Hospital. She's applying just for permission to take the exam. I didn't see any problems with her application. Dr. Cadrina, do you want to do Ms. Beasley?
I see no problems with Ms. Coley. Should do we make a motion?
No, we have one more, Ms. Beasley. So you go ahead and do Ms. Beasley.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I have to catch you.
So Ms. Beasley is also applying just for exam. Is that correct, Ms. Folks?
Yes, just ACCC only. That she is in the exam and licensure category is my error.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ms. Dr. Beasley graduated from Walden University with a degree in clinical psych in February of 23. And she has all the coursework, I thought, so that would be required. She has a pre-internship and an internship. So she actually has 2,767 hours, so not quite the three. So she would just like to have the exam, and I would approve that.
Okay. I support that as well. She can go and sit for the exam. We will probably see her application again when she finishes her postdoc hours to meet the 3,000-hour supervised requirement. Her internship hours meet the requirement. Her pre-internship, whatever she submitted, is good to go to. You would agree with that. Yeah. But at this point, we are just approving that she sit for the exam. So I will make a motion that we approve Dr. Tony and Dr. Beasley for the exam. Do I hear a second?
Yes, I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. These two candidates will move to the full board for approval to sit for the exam.
Madam Chair, if I can interject, we can get this item for Dr. Lanfear on the September 1 meeting agenda.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pakkanen. Do I hear a motion, Dr. Caverino, from you regarding Dr. Lanfear's application?
I move that Dr. Lanfear's case be discussed at the September 2023 full board meeting.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. This licensure application will be discussed at the full board meeting on September 1. I'm assuming Ms. Mackinnon and Ms. Galvin, this will be an untimed item, or is it a timed item? It will be an untimed item.
Untimed, thank you.
Okay, so it will happen at some point. And you can check with board staff if you wanted some approximations. Just for the record, Ms. Pakkanen, I'm going to be a little late to the board meeting on September 1, probably get there around 9:15. So, you know, I would like to be present for this discussion.
Okay, thank you. We'll make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you all very much. Have a good day.
Thank you for being here. Okay, we will now move to the category of exam and licensure. These are candidates requesting to sit for exam and licensure. And the first one we have is Brittany Launder.
I'm sorry to interject. I think I was also ECCC only for Brittany Launder.
Oh, okay.
No, it says ECCC and licensure on your application. But if you wish to move it to just ECCC, I think you can do that.
I think we can do it that we can do it ECCC only.
Yes. And, okay. I actually would prefer that because I have questions regarding your application. So we are
yes.
To just ECCC. Based on the, I'll just do a brief summary. You received your degree, I think, from Walden University.
Yes.
The internship, was 1611 hours, which does meet the requirements. And from my internship, I think it was okay. I did have questions on the internship hours. Some of the supervision did not meet the requirement. The 482 hours that was submitted, there was no signature. I don't know whether it's practicum. There was not the pre-internship form that accompanied it. So I had a lot of questions regarding the pre-internship hours. But if you're just applying for an exam.
I have a question on that, though, about the classwork.
Okay.
Listen, the research methods, we're supposed to have 5 credits, and she has only 4. Now, it's interesting because other people from Walden, maybe graduating in different years, their research method class said 5 credits, but hers says 4. But I did notice that she had a quantitative research class. I went through the transcript that was 4 credits, and I don't know if that could be counted under the research. So I was going to ask at the meeting.
It can be counted under the research, and she should have included it.
So maybe that should be corrected.
We can go ahead and accept that correction rather than doing another letter. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking at the, there was a research, 0 credit.
So all the other Walden students, it was 5 credits, but hers was 4, but that other course did exist. So I thought together that would be 8 quarter hours and should be enough.
Okay. So at this point, we will note the correction for the record. We are adding that other course to your Ms. Polk, make a note of that we've included that other course in our discussion to meet the 5-quarter credits requirement. And we will go ahead and approve that you sit for the exam. Okay, we will do the motion. Oh, no, actually, we should do her separately because it's just for the exam. So I'll make a motion that we approve approve Ms. Blonder to sit for the exam only.
Yes, I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do you want to do the next one, Estrella?
Yes, Estrella Ochoa graduated from University of Arizona School Psych Program in August of 21. She had an internship at the University of Arizona SALT Center. It's 2,000 hours. And she has a postdoc of 1,000 hours. So I believe that this is an APA site. So I think it actually, I added up, it said 45 weeks for, but it would come to a 1980, but since it's an APA site, we have to assume it's a 2,000 hour internship.
Yeah.
So, she has 2 recommendations. She has a self query form. I think she would be fine to, you know, I would approve her to sit for the ECCC licensure.
Okay, I have no problem. Next one is Dr. Sarah Davina.
And I'm recused of, she was my student.
We will move her to the full board, yes. And I noticed your name on the application. So I'll go ahead and do the next one then. Imelda Murrieta. She graduated from the University of Arizona. She submitted 3 internship hours for 436. She did a APIC approved internship at Avondale for 2000 hours and then submitted a postdoc for 670 hours. So together with her pre-internship, internship and postdoc, she does meet the 3000 hours of supervised experience. Everything else was in good standing, so I had no problem. What about you?
I agree.
Okay.
There's Dr. Shanta Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
So she graduated from Walden and in May 23. So her practicum hours are 804 hours. She has an internship. Well, I think we might have been confused on this. This is not an APA internship. They list that she has 40 to 45 hours a week in her internship at LifeStance for 52 weeks, but we can only count 40 hours. So that would come to 2,080. And then she has a postdoc. But it just says 40 hours a week. It doesn't say the number of weeks. So I was a little confused. Are you more clear? So if I counted her practicum and an internship, I'd have 2,884 hours and 0.49. And then there's a postdoc, but it says 40 hours, but I don't know how many weeks she did. So I had a question, and maybe it's clearer to you.
She did 220 hours she submitted. And
for the postdoc?
For the postdoc.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's from 550. It's just for a month, so 40. But that does seem, because it says 515.23 to 616, so that is 1 month. So you can only do 160 hours in 1 month, you know, averaging 4 weeks, so 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
But she submitted 220 and 165 direct hours. So that postdoc that hours submitted do not meet our requirement. And she has her, I'm assuming she's continuing in this postdoc. So I really think we need to ask. Her internship also does not meet the requirements. I'd like to see an internship form that just says 40 hours. Her supervision for an internship is only 66 hours. If you are submitting, I'm looking at her internship. If you are submitting a 2008, we had 38 minutes. She needs at least, at least 100 hours of supervision. Her total hours of supervision was 66 hours. So she's well under the supervision requirement. So her internship does not meet the requirement. So I think we need to send her back to her. And I don't see Dr. Hemingway on the line, clarify her internship because it does not meet the requirement. Her two practicums appear to be fine. They were well within the requirement. And then the postdoc also does not meet the requirement because it exceeds the 40 hours.
Okay, so to make a motion.
So let's finish the
clarification.
Madeline King, I'll go ahead and do her. She got her doctorate from Loyola, Maryland. And it's clinical psych. She did an internship at an APIC site, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think she got her doctorate from, her master's from Loyola and her doctorate from Immaculata.
Oh, okay. No. Thank you.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And then,
I only wrote one of the institutions down.
Okay. And then she
did an internship at Barrows for 2,000 hours.
Yeah.
And then she did a postdoc for another 1,000 hours. So I didn't have a problem with her application.
No, I didn't have one either.
Okay. Do you want to do the next one?
Okay. Ashley Jane. What do I have here? Oh, she graduated from Oklahoma State University in counseling psych. That is an APA program. So
she received a letter, so maybe we can focus on that.
I have to see, but I have that she has her the Veterans Affairs. She did her internship there and her postdoc there. What is the, maybe clarify for me, maybe I missed something.
Okay, so, so Dr. Jane, is applying for licensure. She was reviewed by the board, probably a month ago.
I see now, yeah.
Yeah, at some point, I'm looking when the letter was in March. So we had regarding her pre-internship.
Yeah, she had only 39 supervision hours. She should have 47 something.
Yes. Yeah. So she submitted a pre-internship and said that she's unable to submit logs because of confidentiality.
Madam Chair, committee members, may I interrupt? I apologize. I believe you have the wrong file. For Dr. Jane, this is actually a reapplication, and I ended up uploading her previous application that was approved a few months ago. She has since taken the ECCC and did not pass, and she is reapplying.
So let's go ahead and move her to the full board, then we will review it then.
All right, thank you. I apologize.
Okay.
Okay, then this. Christopher Jane, and also graduate from Oklahoma State in counseling psych, has an internship from the University of North Colorado that meets requirements, and then has other practica, and the two references, and a self-query form. I thought this one was okay.
Me too.
I have 1,048 hours of other hours in addition to the internship. So is this, I would approve this case.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Then we have two more in this category. We have Luis Sanchez. This is a reapplication. And I'm thinking, just, I always get confused between, they're reapplying because
yes.
of the exam scores. Do they need to submit a detailed plan on their study? Because I did not see that. Or is it after the third time?
I thought there was a passing score now. No,
there isn't a passing score.
It's after the third time is my recollection.
Okay. So, I mean, at this point, we will, I don't see any problems needing to sit for the third time.
Yeah, I agree.
And the last one, you want to do the last one, Veronica?
Okay, Veronica High, University of Missouri, St. Louis. And
she also received a letter.
Yes, go ahead. You can discuss that. There was a letter about the location of the internship and whether it was listed correctly. Did you want to mention that? Because you were there, I think, when I was on vacation. This may have come up. Is this?
Yes, I will go ahead and talk about this one. So Dr. High, the pre-internship hours did not match the verification received from the supervisor, the table, and it didn't match. And so in regards to that, she resubmitted it, and all of those, so she has 336, 446, which is added up, you know, she did basically three internships, and if you look at it, there were five of them at the same place.
Yes, and then it looked like on page 22, when it had total hours, that the column for total hours was the same as the column for supervision. Like, I thought it might have been, it was exactly the same number. So I thought maybe she put the supervision hours in two places rather than the total hours. And then that was on page 22, and then it seemed to be done correctly in a new, in another one.
Yeah, and that's why they pointed out the mistake. So she did correct that. She still had a little bit of error on her supervision. It should have been on the second one. It should have been 49. She missed 69. And if you look here, she made that same mistake. But 49 does meet the requirements. So I'm going to, we just need to correct it for the records. 30 plus 19 is 49.
Yes.
So she made errors before, and she continues to make those additional errors. But it does meet the requirements, so needs to be careful when she does billing, if she does make these kind of errors. So, I think she meets the additional information that we asked her to do. So we have problems with just a word of caution on her addition.
Okay.
So I think you're ready to make a motion, and let me try to do this. Okay, so we have Dr. Wanda, who is, okay, we already voted on her because she's doing just exam.
Yeah, that's right.
Dr. Ochoa. So I make a motion that we submit Dr. Ochoa, Dr. Davina.
No.
Davina is going to go to the full board.
Oh, yes, Dr. Davina. Yeah, thank you for that. Dr. Marietta, Dr. King, Dr. Jane, Christopher Jane, I need to specify.
Christopher Jane.
And Dr. Louis Sanchez and Dr. High, Veronica High. All of these are being recommended to the full board for approval to sit for the exam and upon passing the exam, license. Do I hear, and I'll make a separate motion on the others just to keep it, so we get it correct. Do I
hear? Okay. Second. Yes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I make a new motion that we move Dr. Jane to the full board for approval.
Ashley Jane, better say.
Jane and, you're not going to make a motion on Dr. Jane. This is just for the record. Dr. Jane and Dr. Davina are moving to the full board for review because we have not reviewed them at this meeting. So there's no motion there. Okay. And the last motion is Dr. Hemingway will receive a letter requesting additional information regarding her internship and the postdoc, which appeared to have concerns. And we discussed that, so Ms. Folks can include that information. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We're done with this category. This was a challenging category.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. This whole day was challenging, actually.
Yeah, the whole agenda has not been... Okay, we're moving to a new category. Hopefully, starts with a waiver. And the first one is Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark graduated from Argosy.
She's present. She is present, by the way.
Yeah, she is present. Thank you, Dr. Clark, for being here. She did an internship. It was 2029. She did a postdoc for 1,500 hours. And then we had a question regarding the agreement. She had submitted her manual, which was very detailed and it described the experiences that she got, but it was a generic manual. So the letter that was submitted to her requested clarification or just some attestation from the supervisor that her training experience was indeed aligned with the manual. We got a very brief letter. And if that's okay with you, Dr. Carino, then we can move her forward.
There's the other question. Do we want to consider the previous legal history from?
No, I would prefer that we not discuss legal history unless you had a concern.
I'm not going to say what it is, but do we consider it or not?
No, it was done in 2012. To me, it's a moot point. I'm not comfortable even discussing it.
Okay.
Unless you had a big concern, then I would. But if we...
No, I don't. But I just didn't know if we had I thought we should discuss it. No. Okay.
My preference, and this is, I'm just stating this for the record, is that for things that have happened a long time ago, single, and it's more than 10 years, that we don't even bring it up unless the person...
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm okay with the generic manual.
Okay. And the letter from the supervisor test.
Yes.
Madam Chair, committee members, mm-hmm. I think that you might be, Christine Clark has a regular,
am I mistaking?
I think you might be thinking of Dr. Snyder.
Okay, sorry.
Dr. Snyder had the fair, Christine Clark did not.
Okay. I really confused my notes then. I combined the notes for the two together. Okay, so I do have a question then. I'm looking at my notes and your internship, your postdoc experience, you did it at the Emily program?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
And you had 38 hours of supervision. In order to count 1,000 hours of your postdoc towards your internship, I do need to bring up your application. You only included 38 hours of supervision, which is below the standard.
Yes. Yeah. Can I explain that discrepancy?
Okay.
So for the required supervision hours in Minnesota, which is where I am currently licensed and originally applied, the the requirements were for every 40 hours worked, you needed 2 hours of supervision. One did have to be individual supervision, and the second hour could be via group supervision with a designated secondary supervisor that your primary supervisor has designated. So as my postdoc coordinator was filling this out, she said, I'm comfortable speaking to the 1 hour of individual supervision, because that was, I guess, how it was written on her attestation form. But there was a second hour of supervision each week, but with a secondary person. And I will also say, she and I were a bit confused with how many hours to report, because I saw in ARS section 32-2071, not more than 1,500 hours of supervised professional experience shall be postdoctoral. So I actually, by the time I was done with postdoc and completed some additional like pre-licensed training, I had 2,433 hours. But she and I thought,
how many hours of supervision?
So I would have to redo the math, but each, so it was 40 hours a week and 2 hours of supervision each week.
Now, you can only count individual. Arizona doesn't allow group supervision to be counted. So it is a problem. I did notice it as a problem in my notes. I just got confused with the Snyder case. I didn't put a line between the notes. But I did make a note that you have 38 hours of supervision. You need 1,000 hours. So for 1,000 hours, you need 50 hours of supervision. My suggestion is that we will send you a letter, and you need to verify that you meet our minimum postdoc, which is 1,000 hours, at least 50 hours of supervision, and a 400 hours of direct. And we do not count supervision. The other option you do have is you can apply for licensure if you're in Arizona by universal recognition, where we do not review your specific postdoc hours. But if you're not living in Arizona, then that's not possible. But if you are planning to move here, then that is a easier path.
Okay. I am currently located in Arizona.
Oh, wonderful. Then I think you should, because your postdoc technically does not meet our requirements. So I would recommend that you talk to Ms. Folks and you consider a universal recognition. Ms. Packening, do you have any recommendations for that?
Madam Chair, yes, I was just about to ask if I could supply some additional context. So there will be, it will necessitate, you know, submitting an additional application. And the way the system behaves, it will probably require you to pay again, although talk to me. We may be able to come up with a workaround. At any rate, typically what this board will do, and I'll defer to the chair, but in these instances, we have just transferred the initial application fee to the second application and not forced the applicant to apply twice. Dr. Malott, are you comfortable with that?
Yes. And okay, so great. You need to submit one more piece of information, and if you can do all of that today, we can include you on Friday and review you separately, so we can still help you get licensed in the same time frame.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for being here and for explaining. So that really helped with answering that additional question. You do need, you know, there's a list of requirements that you have to submit to prove that you live in Arizona, which is not onerous at all. Just any one of them, just like a whole list. But you can work with staff and we'll see your application on Friday. And you don't have to be present, but our board meetings are a lot of fun, so you're always welcome to attend.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your time, everyone.
Thank you. I would like a clarification. Is it true that you don't, she said you only have 1,500 postdoc? You can't, I've seen several with 2,000. We only
no,
can't.
So the way, can I explain?
Yes.
Because we have a 3,000 hour requirement, you can have a 1,000, you can have a 3,000, but you have to have 1,500 internship.
Okay, got it. So yes.
That's the up to, only 1,500 can be counted towards 4 hours. So if you had a 2,000, it doesn't reduce the internship. Internship has to be a 1,500.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, when you explain it like that, yes, it makes sense. Thank you.
You can do a longer postdoc. And sometimes people have to do a longer postdoc because you're trying to also get those direct hours and, you know, so, yeah, so this.
Wanted to make a really quick announcement because I know that we have a couple of people in this meeting who I think are here for the CBA meeting. Can I just sort of speak to that really quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we used the same link for two separate meetings back to back. In this case, this is for psychologist applications. So if you're here for your behavior analyst application, as I believe the two of you might be, you're welcome to stay and just hang out. Otherwise, it is 8:41 Arizona time. So if you want to leave and then come back at 9:30 Arizona time for that meeting, we will see you there with the same link. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we're done with your application, Dr. Clark. So the next one is Sarah Snyder. And Sarah Snyder did submit a letter from her supervisor regarding the additional supervision hours, regarding the manual, sorry. And so I'm fine with the letter. Are you okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, so we are in the waiver category. So the next one we have is Dr. MacArthur.
Okay.
Do you want to do that one?
Wait a minute, I can't. Oh, Sloan. I'm sorry, I have her under Sloan. Just a minute. Okay, so Dr. Laura Sloan, I guess, MacArthur. So she attended the University of North Dakota. She is in the National Register. She has two references. She's been licensed in various states, including North Dakota, Texas, Minnesota, and Alaska. Some are not current, but she does have at least one current, and she's been licensed for many years. I would say the waiver would be fine.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. Nancy McCray is also applying under a waiver. Mm-hmm. She looks good. She passed the exam. She has an AP-approved pre-doc, post-doc. I didn't see any problems with her applying as a waiver.
No, I have no problems with her either. Okay. Next, Cameron Sheik. Okay, Cameron Sheik, applying under waiver, has passed the EPPP, graduated from University of Hartford with SID in 2021, internship in Central Arkansas Veterans Center, has a 2,000-hour internship and a 3,520 postdoc supervision hours, 176, which I believe is a right, and has two references in the self-query form. I think it's okay.
Yeah, no problem. Next one is Hamish Gunn. Again, passed all the exams, has a pre-doc, post-doc. I didn't have any problems with this application.
Okay, and going with your previous comment, we'll leave off the other concern. All right. Thank you. And then who... That's it for that category.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So I'll make a motion that we approve. Christine Clark is moving to another category. So Dr. Snyder, Dr. Sloan MacArthur, Dr. McCray, Dr. Sheik, Dr. Gunn to the full board for approval by waiver.
I second the motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we have one, which is approval by credential. And that's Dr. Amanda Smith, CPQ. I didn't have any problems with her application.
No, I didn't. I did not either.
So, I'll make the motion that we approve Dr. Smith by credential.
Second.
That we forward it to the full board for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then we get into our universal recognition category. We do have three in that category. If you don't mind, Dr. Katarina, I'm going to put them together. We have Diana Cook, Anne Marie Panarello, and Ronald Howell, all applying. They have provided proof of Arizona residency. So I'm making a motion that we move them to the board for approval.
I did have this. I think there's one question. I believe it's in Cook. One of them had been licensed in one of them now was licensed in Arizona. And then, after only 1 year, was not licensed, but I thought there are licensing cycles 2 years. So is that, I'm not sure. That was, that was Cook. So she was licensed from 12/19 to 12/20. In Arizona, and I didn't know why. I thought if she expired, why it wasn't 2 years, like 12/19 to 12/21.
Let me check her degree date. Maybe she was like
that. She is a six, so from Seattle Pacific to that June of 04.
Madam Chair, committee members,
yes.
If that was her initial license cycle, it was probably prorated.
Oh, thank you. I just didn't know if there was any reason because it wasn't 2 years, you know. Okay, then I'm okay with that one. Panandello. I'm okay with that one. And, okay, an Arabian. And that's the next one. Okay.
Ronald Howell.
Yeah.
Howell. Okay, so I'll make the I have a motion on the table. Do you second it?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Do you want to do the last one, Dr.?
Okay, Dr. Arabian, licensed in California. And I couldn't see. And it's just for a telehealth registry, right?
Yes.
And so I'm okay with this. I didn't see any problems.
Yeah, so I didn't either. Do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we approve Dr. Anne Marie Arabian for telehealth registry.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We are done with our agenda.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. This was not the most expedient agenda, so appreciate all of the details and all of the information that went in. Thank you, Mr. Alvin, for being here and your wise counsel. So if we can move to the next item, which is...
Is it adjourned?
No, is any items for...
Oh, future meeting.
Not right now, okay. And so the next one then is... adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Oh, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.